Amen. Our scripture today will be from the book of Mark. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible or follow along on the screen or a Bible at home. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Let's pray before we begin this. Lord, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you for helping us to hear what it is you want us to hear. And we pray that our hearts are turned to you always. We also ask you for your mercy to be upon the sermon, that it too might be used for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Hear now God's word. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall, a strong storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this?" Even the wind and the waves obey him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, of course, the picture here is an artist's idea of what that night looked like. Based upon Scripture, the wind and the waves were breaking over the boat, and the boat was almost swamped. So the boat was almost so full of water that it itself sank. That's a scary-looking scene. All right, so we'll come back to that scene in just a moment. Now, there's some things that we need to know, brief things that I think are important to what's going on here. So first, Jesus was on a boat preaching to all the people who were on the shore and in surrounding boats. He was doing that all day long, and when evening came, he said, "Let's go to the other side and do ministry over there." What's Jesus's career background? Carpenter. Jesus is a carpenter. He's not a boat person. He's not a fisherman. He's a carpenter. All right. So when he says, "Let's go over to the other side," Jesus isn't taking the rudder. He's not working the sails. He's telling, "Take me to the other side." All right. So Jesus is sleeping. He's worked all day long because he can't sail. So he's sleeping. Now, the other disciples, we know that there are at least four other disciples there who know how to work a boat. James and John, Simon and Peter, right? They're fishermen. So they've been out on the lake. In fact, this sea that they're on, this is their office. They've been working in this office since they were boys, and their dads dragged them out and went fishing. They understand when a squall picks up, when a storm picks up, that it can be scary, and you have to respect it. And if they were afraid, you know that this storm was bad. Right? So, Jesus is sleeping because he's tired. That's not being in a boat and sailing is not his job. He's going to take a break. The squall picked up, the storm picked up, so that the boat nearly sank. Jesus was sleeping. All right, I don't know how, but we just take the scripture at its word. Jesus was sleeping. Now, this part I find funny, and I've mentioned this before. Jesus was in the stern sleeping. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Was Jesus worried about the storm? Was Jesus even knowledgeable about the storm? We have no idea. Apparently not. He's sleeping. Why did the disciples wake him? Did they think Jesus could help? He's a carpenter. How's Jesus going to help? Build him a boat. When he calmed the storm, they were shocked. So they didn't wake him up to calm the storm. No. There's a saying that we have, right? Misery loves company. The disciples were afraid. The disciples were stressed. The disciples were freaking out. And how dare Jesus be sleeping when they're upset? We have this. In fact, there was just a perfect example that happened at this service of this idea that misery loves company. During announcement, I mentioned that next week we turn our clocks forward, right? I don't like that I lose an hour of sleep that day. That is a difficult day of the year to turn my clock forward. And so you people, some of you, who are happy that the clock was turned forward, I just had to remind you that you're going to lose an hour of sleep for that, because I don't want you to be that happy. But that's the way the world works. If inside of an office or at a school or wherever it is that we're working, that we get bad news. In 1 to 3 years, this place is going to be shut down. And people are worried about this, which you can't blame them. Where's their livelihood going to come from? Where are they going to work next? How are they going to get their pay? What decisions are they going to make? Are they going to just retire, get severance packages? There's a lot of things going on. And some people, when things are going bad, it's hard to handle. I'm one of those people. But there are other people, and you know these people in your lives, who they're okay. Things will turn out. God will provide. I'll just not worry about that because that's 1 to 3 years away. I'll keep doing what I'm doing. It'll be fine. To people who are worried and really kind of freaking out, we don't like those people who are not worried with us. Why aren't you upset? Why? Do you know what you're going to do? No. Doesn't that infuriate you? No. Why not? I hear it another way. Maybe this is an example you can really latch on to. Do you know that our world's falling apart? The United States is so divided with itself that they can't agree on anything. And because they can't agree on anything, they want the other side to lose, whatever other side that is. And there's no value in the other side. And people, I've heard many people start complaining, and I've shared this with you time and time again. Well, back in my day, things were so much better. In fact, people say that to the kids. You don't know what it's like. In my day, things were fantastic. In your day, they're awful. And the kids just reply, they're not that bad. No, no, no. Let me give you all the examples why your childhood will be well worse than my childhood. But I'm happy. No, you're just miserable and you don't know it yet. Why do we fight so hard to destroy other people's joy? Why do we fight so hard to get rid of other people's peace? I think it boils down to jealousy. We want to be like that. Jesus is in the stern sleeping, and the disciples, they see that he's perfectly content because Jesus understands that the storm's going to pass, that they're going to get through it. That why be upset at something that is going to be okay later? The disciples, they can't go to sleep. They can't just ignore what their eyes are telling them. And they just want Jesus to understand that they're afraid too, and they want to see a little fear in his eyes. And I love Jesus' response, and this is the challenge for us. Jesus gets woken up. I don't wake up well, but Jesus woke up okay. He woke up, and instead of sitting on the stern of that boat in the midst of the wind and the waves telling them you guys got to settle down. This storm is nothing to worry about. We're going to get through it okay. Instead of sitting on the storm, on the stern of the boat with the boat rocking and saying that, Jesus said first to the winds and the waves, peace, be still. First, Christ met their immediate need, gave them an opportunity to also see that God's more powerful than this storm. And then afterwards, when everything was okay and the fear was gone, Jesus then taught them. Don't you have any faith? Don't you understand that God's greater than this? Now, the disciples' reaction was interesting to Jesus rebuking the storm and chastising them. They were then terrified, no longer of the storm, but of Jesus and what God is capable of. There are people in your lives who are the shelter in the storm, the peace when everything is chaos. You might be that person. When we were talking about this jump thing, the 9-foot jump to us looks terrifying. But to others, that 9-foot jump's nothing. Because they've been there. They've practiced. They've got beyond it. And that person can then lead other people through time and patience to get beyond that too. You may know someone who's going through something terrible in life, something awful, something they're having a hard time, but you've been there. You understand that there's another side. You know that through God, you can get through it, and so can they. The response that we have through the faith that we have is to help others through those storms too. To give them an opportunity to lean upon you. To give them an opportunity that it can be done. And since we're in this season of Lent, where we are getting through our own battles and our own storms, we have opportunity to lean on others who've been there, done that. For Christ, we know, has the final answer. God has the final word. We'll be okay. And we can help each other through. I thank God for that. I share with you this final benediction from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, so we may walk this road that we're on in peace. We thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Go in peace.